Hey guys, welcome to ANX Gamecast Level 7. I'm Unbiased Ann, and I'm here with Genesis and Mike B. How's it going, guys?
I'm doing great.
Doing great. I'm doing okay. Trying to get over this cold, but I'm glad you're doing okay.
Oh yeah, man. I feel like a million bucks right now. I feel great. Indeed.
Mike's like, sorry for you, but
yeah,
I feel great.
I can somewhat share your pain. You know, I at one time or another, I was sick. So, you know.
You're sick every day. Sick in the head.
I can't argue with that. But yeah, man. But, you know, hopefully you make a speedy recovery.
Hopefully.
We'll have to remember later that he didn't argue with that point.
It's true.
All right. What are y'all excited to talk about today?
I'm actually excited to tell you guys what I'm currently watching right now. I'm actually watching a Loop on the Third.
Okay. Okay. So I guess I'm excited to talk about Fire Emblem Warriors.
Unbiased Dan.
What about you?
I feel like my time has been spent on a lot of Pokemon Go, so I'm always excited to talk about that.
Okay. So let me jump right in. Again, like always, social media plugs. Follow us at ANX Gamecast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Email us at anxgamecenter@gmail.com. So let's go ahead and jump in.
Round one.
Mike, you said you were currently watching Lupin the Third?
Yeah. Oh, most definitely.
What is it? Something new?
You know what? It's newer, but yet it came out in 2012.
Okay.
You remember Lupin, right?
Yeah, it's 2012 in America or in Japan?
That one right there, I would not be able to tell. I think I would say America.
Okay.
Yeah. You ever heard of, because you know of Lupin the Third,
I
right?
know of it. I haven't watched it. Every time I saw a trailer or a commercial or something for it, it appeared to be old. It looked old or drawn old.
Oh, yeah,
or
old.
Oh, it's old school? Okay, yeah. I can't get with that old school. Can't get with that old school.
Well, the one that I'm watching, you would probably like this more. This is called Lupin the Third, The Woman Called Fujiko Mine.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just, it's cool because it covers over Fujiko. She's one of the main characters in the Lupin series. You know, the main thing with them are they're all thieves that steal, like, you know, real big, you know, extravagant treasures and stuff, with Lupin being the main thief. Like, he's the big dude who steals all the stuff. But I actually like this series. You know, it gave me like an old familiar feel. Like, it had like the old school feel to it in drawings, but yet it was new though.
So this is a continuation of the series, or is this a movie?
This is like a prequel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they have a series of like TV shows and movies or so, but this one, the newer ones that I've seen so far that I know of, these are like prequels, and this one right here happens before everybody meets each other.
So can I see this on Crunchyroll or something, or did you buy this?
I actually bought this one.
Okay.
Yeah, I bought it online.
So it's in 2012, but because it's a prequel, it looks old, like purposely? Because didn't you said it was old school?
So basically, you know, usually when people draw like their characters or so, like when you first start off in like an anime or manga or whatever, characters look kind of funny or drawn kind of differently because of the art style. But then eventually in the future, they get kind of more spaced out and they look a lot better. But in this one, it's like they kind of captured that old school, still kind of feel and look, but yet the graphics and animation is a whole lot better.
Okay, so they kind of tried to make it look old, but still look.
I would just say the way how it's drawn. How can I say, like, the character shapes and models are still kind of the same. Like, you know, you know how, like, in old cartoons, like the way how they run, it's like, oh man, why'd they run like that or so?
Yeah,
it's like they still have that, but yeah, it's more modern looking though, I guess.
I got you.
It's pretty cool. You should check it out.
I'll think about it. I'll think about it.
Okay, well, at least you say
that's as much as he'll give you.
That's as much as I'll give you. I need to just catch up on my own stuff. So every episode we come on and we talk about what we're currently watching. I've been watching the same episode of Dragon Ball Z Kai for like 3 weeks.
Are you sure they just been screaming for a few weeks?
Well, I see where you're going with that. So we all know Dragon Ball Z, they might have one scene that lasts five episodes. So it might just be Goku yelling and charging up for 5 weeks straight. But no, that's not what's going on. Oh. So this is the episode where they're trying to reset everything in the Majin Buu saga. So Fat Buu and Babidi are running amok in the city, destroying stuff and eating all the pastries. Everyone else is trying to rally all the troops to get ready for the big battle. So they're about to send, I believe, Trunks and Goten into the hyperbolic time chamber and or teach them how to do the fusion technique. Gohan, everyone thought Gohan was dead, but apparently he's alive. Mm-hmm. And they revived him. Supreme Kai took him back to his place so he can try to get the Z-Sword.
So, you know what? In that right there where you said they're trying to rally up the crew and everything, you know, fight Boo. Mm-hmm. You know, if it was me, I had to be like real stern and direct with them. I'm going to say, okay, everybody who's not a Saiyan, stand to the side.
Well, not even stand to the side. It's like just, if you're not going to go home, just go ahead and blast yourself in the chest.
Yeah,
for real. Because you're going to die anyway.
Yep.
So.
Just save yourself a trip, you know. Yeah. Hey, you know, we'll wake you up after everything is said and done. You know, we'll let you know how it go. Gave you a little synopsis, a little run through.
Wake you up, but I thought they're dead.
Oh, you're never dead in Dragon Ball Z.
You know what? I feel like we're having deja vu. I mean, I'm having deja vu here. I feel like we've already had this conversation. But
Mike said the same thing last time.
Oh, yeah. You're never dead.
You're never really dead. Except Kai or whatever that lives on the other planet that's dead.
King Kai. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think at least where I'm at on Dragon Ball Super, he's still dead. So he's still dead, Mike.
Can you explain that,
Mike? He chooses to be dead.
Oh, no. He doesn't. They keep forgetting. From what I've seen, they've forgotten to wish him back.
Oh, yeah. You know what? That is true.
Yeah.
How can they forget? Why can't Goku just wish him back?
Because Goku is secretly evil.
What?
Yes.
What?
Yeah, man. Come on. You have somebody who craves for battle consistently? Come on, man. Who does that naturally? You know, nobody just wants to, I want to continuously fight.
Well, no normal human being on Earth, but he's an alien.
Yeah, I guess so.
Forget that he is an alien.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I guess I'm just hating on Goku right now because I just became a Vegeta fan.
What do you mean just became a Vegeta fan?
Well, I mean, okay, so this is how it goes. Gohan is always going to be like my favorite. He's in his own tier. So, you know,
Which Gohan?
All versions of Gohan. Little Gohan, teenage, in high school Gohan.
Okay.
You know, I feel bad what they're doing to my boy in Super Saiyan.
Mike, be tripping.
Okay.
Mike always talking about liking some dude on the show.
But what? Because they're cool, and they're what's up. You know, they got the power, you know.
Okay.
So
okay.
Right now, Vegeta is like I didn't realize how cold that dude was.
What? He's the prince of all Saiyans.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I was over there with Gohan. I was like, yeah, Gohan, when he grow up, he's going to be a little monster.
I mean, the only thing I don't like about Vegeta is the fact that he keeps calling himself the prince of all Saiyans.
Oh, I love that.
Dad is dead. You are the king now.
Yeah, you know, that is true.
So.
Wouldn't technically Trunks be the prince now?
Yeah, Trunks is the prince.
Trunks briefs.
But Vegeta, I mean, my favorite character is PyCon. Because he whooped the crap out of Goku in the Otherworld tournament. Let's not talk about what happened in Janemba Saga. But yeah, Vegeta's right there, number two.
Oh, yeah,
always been. Up. Yeah. And probably number three is future Gohan in the future of Trunks.
Ooh, future Gohan.
The one with the one arm. The one arm Gohan is pretty legit.
I think everybody liked that Gohan.
Right.
Vegeta's so grumpy.
Grumpy, mean.
Yeah.
But he chilled out in Super. In Dragon Ball Z, he was kind of, I'm mad.
He had that Batman shirt on.
Yeah, Batman. Like, dang, man, don't miss that dude.
Even though it was pink.
Why is he always so mad?
He has reasons.
Yeah. Specifically, just some PTSD with Frieza.
For real.
Killing his dad and wiping out his whole race.
And his wife's ex-boyfriend keeps coming around?
Yeah, Yamcha.
That is so weird that Yamcha comes around like that. Like,
yeah, because, I mean, Vegeta could probably literally just thump him in his head and he would die.
Yeah.
So the fact that Yamcha keeps coming around, it's like, okay.
Wouldn't it be funny if Vegeta were just to say like, huh, you know, I think I got a few Saiyan men left in my pocket. And he's just like, oh, no. He just leaves off.
Yeah, because they probably could still kill Yamcha to this day.
It's sad because it probably could happen. Yeah. But
so anyway, enough Dragon Ball Z talk. Let's get right into episodes 8 through 10 of Serial Experiments Lane, the anime that we're that is currently under review. Mike, sound like you got something to say.
How could you tell?
Because you said...
You're like... like, he about to just, like, oh my God. Unload a whole bunch of stuff.
So, I think...
Unbiased Dan.
Maybe losing a little steam with it. I'm pretty much even with it, but it seems like Mike is just getting hype and hype and more hype about what's happening right now online.
I literally have no clue what's going on. I'm so confused.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't even get it. Nothing's clicking. I don't understand.
But, Mike, what are you liking so far about it? Because you seem to be super excited.
Man, okay. All I have to say is that if somebody's watching right now and they don't want to get what I'm about to say, because this is what I think, I'll say right now this is a spoiler.
We still got to get Fake Tana. We got to reprogram Fake Tana.
Yeah,
we need one that says spoiler alert, but whatever.
Or like some kind of countdown that goes down, spoilers in 3, 2, 1, and then, you know, whatever. But anyway, so this is what I'm believing that's happening in Lane right now that just like hit me.
Okay.
So we just ran into an episode where they were explaining like a bunch of information while the show was going on. And, you know, I guess if you don't really pay attention, it's kind of like pointless information, or you're kind of wondering like, okay, what's going on here? What are they getting at with all this mumbo jumbo? Mm-hmm. Anyway, from what I'm kind of picking up is at first they were talking about there was a creation that they using like sounds or so, right? And with the sounds, like I'm not sure if this is sure, but I don't know if this is surefire or not, but they were saying they were messing with sounds, and eventually they got to putting eventually making it to where they can put information through the sound.
Mm-hmm.
And from there also, they were naming off a bunch of scientists and mm-hmm. real life scientists and things about how they did things with like the like resonance of the earth and everything.
The radio waves, the frequency of the earth.
Exactly. There was like the frequency of the earth. And so with the whole deal with the frequency of the earth and all that stuff added together, and they're experimenting, well, studying on dolphins, how they communicate through like, I guess the echoes or vibrations or whatever through mm-hmm. water.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that like what they did, I guess they connected like that. We keep talking about the wire. And what I truly believe is that somehow this one guy that we just seen in this episode was able to take all of these experiments that everybody studied, and he was able to channel this sound through the wires or the power lines going throughout the town. And this is what connects everybody to this online world constantly. That's just my assumption, because I know every time you keep hearing this humming sound constantly throughout the show, and I'm like, why is it so like a big thing going on? But I truly believe that whatever this sound is doing is resonating some kind of sound that's allowing everybody to technically stay connected with each other through this virtual reality online experience.
Okay. So, I mean, I don't necessarily have anything better except for what we talked about last time. So let's kind of go try to backtrack a little bit. Episode 8, I think it was mm-hmm. the one where Lane's friends got mad at her, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
It turned out that the evil Lane or the wired Lane doing things like being a peeping Tom and spying on her friends, going around on the wired and kind of spreading these rumors.
But was she?
Yeah.
Okay.
She was. Then something happened where she was able to, I guess, delete memory files or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So it's like it never happened. Mm-hmm. Then the episode you're talking about, yes, they start giving us a lot of information with real life scientists and doctors who did real life projects mm-hmm. and tried to tie it all in to what was happening on Lane. So all these real life experiments, and then they added one fictional character, which happens to be what he's calling himself, God in the Wired.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was one doctor who kind of went rogue and made one little adjustment to the experiment and basically created the Wired.
Mm-hmm.
He got kicked out of the program. And then a week later, they found him dead, suicide, because as we've talked about before, they keep saying things like physical body is not needed. Mm-hmm. And he primarily exists in the wired. So Lane finally met up with him. They've been speaking to each other and communicating throughout the whole show so far. So they finally meet each other face to face.
Have you noticed that with him, as soon as he showed up, did you notice how he had like these lines on him? Like for some reason, it's like it looked like that's where the railroad tracks, I guess, ran him over at.
Oh, really? I saw he had the bandages across his chest.
Yeah, I didn't connect it.
Yeah, but I didn't really pay too much more attention to that.
Because I was kind of looking at the spacing and the railroad tracks. I said, he died from the railroad. Mm-hmm. And then when I was like, okay, well, if he jumped onto it, it would have ran him over mm-hmm. right there, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, in reality, it probably would have just ripped him up.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, you know, I guess it's just a representation.
Yeah. So what we also found out is that he created the Knights.
Mm-hmm.
Lane got super mad at the Knights, found out who they were, and posted their pictures all over the Wired. And then one by one, they quote unquote committed suicide. But we know that's not what really happened.
Mm-hmm.
The guys in the black suits, mm-hmm. Basically have been going around assassinating all Knight members. He also dropped another little bomb and basically said that the girl in the beginning who killed herself referred to her as Jesus, and he was God. So I guess maybe she was the second one to join him.
Mm-hmm. You know,
in the Wired.
I guess when they start realizing that they're in that kind of world, and then they start processing and understanding, like, we really don't need these bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's the only other one who actually starts saying that, like,
right.
like we don't need this physical body.
Right.
And even the guy, the professor who was saying that he was God, told Lane, you don't need a physical body.
Mm-hmm. At the end, he was trying to convince her to do whatever he wanted her to do. Basically, there was this whole piece in the story basically saying that how can you be a God if no one worships you? So once the Knights were dead, they were no longer worshiping him. He's seemingly needing Lane to continue to believe in him and worship him for him to exist. Mm-hmm. The other thing that we also learned is, which we already knew, Lane's family was not her real family. And they've finally exited the house. Her fake dad came and told her goodbye.
He's like, deuces.
Right. And apparently he wasn't supposed to do that, but he did. And that's when it was revealed that, yeah, that's it's not her real family. So we had that happen along with all the God stuff and the God creation of everything in the Wired.
So why are these people keep telling, all these men keep telling her they love her?
Well, I'm assuming for him anyway is because...
No, not the dad.
Yeah.
That one guy, I guess, that came in, those two guys that came into her room.
The MIB agent looking guys.
Yeah, so I don't have an answer for him, but the other two, I guess, the guy who's calling himself God, I think if I'm remembering correctly, he mentioned that he created Lane. So I guess in a way that would be her dad or father. Mm.
So she's not real?
We don't really know yet, because we're still in the limbo as far as having two different lanes. Is there two lanes or is there not two lanes?
Yeah, I have no clue either.
So what was going on with her sister?
We don't know.
That girl is on that stuff, I'm telling you.
Because Mike always goes back to that.
I'm telling you, that girl on that stuff for real.
Because when the parents were like, it's almost over.
Right.
And then they started like making out again.
Right.
Which is still weird to me. This sister sitting there on the floor looking like she's having a mental breakdown.
Well, at least she started speaking English again.
You want me to tell you something, though? I actually was thinking really hard on that. And for the sister, so we know that when she had that one encounter where she saw her other self or whatever, right? It looked like that's when she kind of started losing her mind or whatever. So I'm kind of wondering, is she like, did something happen where she is kind of like transcending more into the Wired to where she was kind of forming her own, like the professor and the other girl. She forming her body in the Wired?
Well, they've never shown her in the Wired or even using a Navi. As far as when she saw herself, she was losing her mind way before that. Because remember, she was in the bathroom stall with all the writing on the walls and blood, mm-hmm. talking about the fulfill of prophecy and all that kind of stuff. So she had been losing her mind all day.
See, and
since lunchtime.
Like, does that have like a significance? Like, is she like, did she get like, because the way how she's speaking right now is as if she's like connected to the Wire in some sort, like she's talking like a machine kind of.
Well, she's not talking like she's connected to the Wire. She's talking as if she is connecting to the Wire.
Mm.
Or a device that is connecting to the Wire.
I see.
So, I still have a theory on that I haven't put out yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, and why does she have a fake family if in the beginning she wasn't even on the Wired? She was living this life.
Well,
like,
it seems like that was their job.
To get her on there.
To get her on there and get her involved and engaged as far as the Wired goes. So once they did that and she figured out everything, it was time for them to go. One other thing that we failed to mention, and we never talk about him. What was his name? Toto?
Toto.
The little boy from the Club Siberia.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, he's been kind of in the background, and I don't think we ever really spoke of him except for maybe once. Apparently, she got something from the Knights that, you know, she's getting weird packages all the time, and she goes home and she installs this stuff. But apparently, if she would have installed this chip, she would have died or ceased to exist from the information she got from him. So basically, he's basically saying that if you would have installed this, it would have overwritten any data that was on the computer. Almost like what she did when she deleted the memories of all of her friends in the Wired. As far as her spreading rumors.
You know, I kind of wonder if the Knights are actually the good guys. Like, I kind of wonder if they know that everybody is in the Wired, or like people can't tell the difference between reality and.
So I can see that, considering how the other side is starting to seem more, I guess, evil.
Because
this guy who's calling himself God, he doesn't seem like any type of good guy.
Mm-mm.
Right, but at the same time, he said he created them, so I guess that will still go along with the storyline of them being bad guys.
I thought that too, though. I mean, I wondered that too. Are they really good guys? Like, it's kind of getting confusing. Yeah. Well, I stay confused, so hey, you know, whatever.
They're dead now, so
yeah,
it's true.
You know,
because it's like, but you know what? That is true, because the Knights do work for that guy who was like God, basically.
Right, right.
So like, so it really makes it tough to understand, like where does Lane stand in all this?
Right.
Because, like, to me, like I said, to me, I feel like maybe they were trying to like wake people up or something, you know,
trying to get them to stay woke.
Yeah, they trying to get them to stay woke, but you know,
stay woke.
But they sitting there going off into the Wired.
So 3 more episodes. So on our next podcast, we'll have our full review, reveal what happened. If we can make sense of it, and give it a score and let you all know if this is something you should watch or not. So, anything else about Lane?
I don't think so.
One thing.
Oh.
Y'all know y'all saw the alien.
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask you, what is up with that alien?
I don't know.
Was she hallucinating? Because that was so weird. And then she didn't even seem fazed by it.
Yeah, so it's just this little bitty gray alien. Did he have a sweater on? A red sweater or something in one of those episodes?
I don't know. Just he
just keeps
world?
Randomly appearing and just kind of peeping and looking.
See, what I would have done, I would have, if it was me, I would have seen him, he would have smiled, and I would have just turned around and said, nope, that does not exist. I did not see that. I'll turn back around and look and be like, okay, he's not there. Well, nope, that never happened.
I'd be having a panic attack and probably screaming and crying if there was an alien in my doorway just staring at me.
Not if you had the powers of Lane, you wouldn't.
Maybe not, but
Lane runs everything.
So you think Lane could have just like hit him with her psychic powers? So
yeah, something.
That gives me the chills even thinking about that. It's just
because it looked like she unleashed some of her ki on God at the end of that last episode we watched.
Yeah, she was getting mad.
She was getting mad and tearing up some stuff.
like nothing matters, you know, and then all that stuff happened. I was like, oh man, she got that Akira power. I've seen that before.
Yeah, straight up Akira Lane.
But at the same time, like I said, when she ripped out that wire, those wires, I was like, I wonder if that did any kind of adverse effects or on anything, but I don't know.
Find out next time on Dragon Ball. Wait, no, it's not Dragon Ball Z.
But, it's lame.
Yeah, so like I said, three more episodes left, and we'll give the full review. So let's jump right into
round two.
Let's start talking about some Nintendo trailer reviews.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So let's start off with Tatsunoko versus SNK. I'm sorry, versus Capcom for the Wii. So, Mike, this is what your choice for the week. So what'd you think about the trailer?
Yeah, you know, the trailer was all right. You know, kind of, you know, showed, you know, the combo system, showed what you can do in there, showed a whole bunch of the character, especially in like at the one point, they showed every character that you can play from in the game, which I was like, okay, that's cool. You know, standard fighting game trailer. For its time, it's a little dated because, you know, it's a game from a while back.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, you know, it's not going to have up to par graphics. It's not going to be like no Street Fighter V or nothing, or no Tekken. It's not going to look great like that, but...
It looked better than King of Fighters.
Hey. You tried to get that in there, didn't you?
I got it right in.
Nah, King of Fighters is what it is. See?
Okay.
But it's a good game. But anyway, the Tatsunoko versus Capcom, like I'm hyped for it. I'm super hyped to play the game. You know, I've seen it before. You know, I've never truly owned the game. I've been at people's houses, but I've never got to sit down and actually get into the game. So,
what was your overall score of the trailer?
Overall, I gave it a 7.
Okay.
So, you know.
So, barely passing.
Yeah, basically barely passing. You know, it's like, it's kind of hard for me to overlook the graphics, I guess I can say. But I do understand it's because it's older.
So let me jump in. I gave the graphics an 8,
mm-hmm.
and it might be a 7 or 6. But the problem was we could not find an official trailer.
Mm-hmm.
So the trailer that we saw may have been the official trailer, but it seemed like someone just took the video and reposted it on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
and it was just real blurry.
Yeah, we couldn't get it in HD.
And it wasn't HD, and it wasn't full screen, and it was just blurry. So I don't know if that was just the person who reposted the video, you know, at a lower quality, or if it actually looked like that. So I gave it the benefit of the doubt and went ahead and gave it an 8.
Mm-hmm. Did you see any characters that you liked in there that were familiar to you?
I couldn't see anything in the dang trailer. I almost went blind trying to look at that trailer. It was just flashing green lights and blue screens and everything's flashing and this techno music in the background, which I enjoyed. But yeah, I couldn't see anything. I saw Ryu a couple of times, and I think I picked out Beautiful Joe and Alex. But other than that, I couldn't see what in the world was going on.
That's too funny. It's like, oh man, bright lights. Ah, ooh, is that Ryu? Ah,
yeah.
Man, I can't see.
It's Goku?
It's like, how did Goku get in this game? He's part of Tatsunoko?
All right, so you ready for my overall score?
So what you give it?
I don't want to give mine yet.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you want mine?
Unbiased Dan.
My overall score for this was 5.0, and that was being generous.
Dang.
I should have went ahead and did mine because mine was a 5.6.
Dang. Y'all haters. That's what you guys are.
No, I guess because y'all are a little more familiar with these trailers.
Don't get familiar.
But I felt the same. I was like, what are we looking at? I'm really confused because all I could think was, this looks really old. How old is this game? All the graphics look old. Everything about it just looked old. I didn't like the music. Obviously, there's not really a story that I could follow. I didn't know. I had no idea what was going on because I was like, I keep seeing Street Fighter characters. How is it? What is Tatsunoko?
goodness.
I literally had no idea what was going on. And I felt like it was just not good.
Yeah, I got right here straight up 0 for story. And as far as info... It gave us no info. So it didn't even answer your question of when did this game come out? Because it didn't give you any info.
Well, and actually my score is probably lower because I went ahead and just gave it a 5 just to be nice for info. Because I wasn't sure. I forgot we were doing Nintendo. And so I kind of was just watching it, just clear mind. And it said, coming soon. No info. And then it said, Wii. And I was like, why does it say Wii? It's on the Wii?
Yeah, this is an old Wii game Mike chose to review.
So Nintendo is Wii? I mean, Wii is Nintendo?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, okay. I wasn't sure who.
So basically what you guys are saying is that you just saw a strobe light like yeah. flashing in your eyes.
With and random Street Fighter characters.
Just like,
popping up.
Street Fighter. Oosh, oosh, oh, shit, oosh, what is that? Oosh,
oosh. Yeah, I was like, wait, I thought we were doing...
Yatter, man.
What? I don't know what Tatsunoko is. So I was...
So Mike, can you shed some light on that? This is the game you chose.
Oh, for the game? Oh, it's mainly just a fighting game. You know, kind of like a part of the Versus series. But no, just Tatsunoko.
Yeah, that what specifically. Tatsunoko is. Right.
Tatsunoko is, it's like its own kind of series type thing, like its own franchise. They have people like, what is it? It's my favorite. Tekkaman Blade. You have Yatterman. Okay. You know, Cashern, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got them. They're all a part of that whole like series of characters, and I believe. I'm trying to see.
So,
because,
so you mean to tell me if we play this game, Capcom is just gonna hand it up on them?
I don't know, man. Those people are kind of crazy strong.
Having something to drink over there?
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I needed some water.
Oh, it's water.
What you sipping on?
What you sipping?
I apologize.
So a 5.6, and a 7. It's not looking too good for the home team. So let's jump over to my trailer, Fire Emblem Warriors. So Mike B. What'd you think about that trailer?
I gave it an 8.
8.0, even?
Yeah.
Cool. So what'd you like about it?
I just like seeing all the character designs.
Oh, okay.
Like, I that's what I was mainly looking at. I was like, oh, cool. Oh, look at all these characters. You know, the voice acting was kind of eh to me.
I got a note about that on mine too. Well, here's the deal. Most of them were okay. Mm-hmm. And good. And I kind of gave it a little pass because this is a Nintendo exclusive. So I feel like they were trying to make a Dynasty Warriors game tailored towards kids. That's just what I got from it. Stuff was a little bit cheesy, what they were saying. So I gave them the benefit of the doubt. There were only a couple of voice actors that were just bad voice actors. So I actually gave it a 9 there because everything else sounded good. It just wasn't targeted towards my demographic. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, okay, they might be trying to get, you know,
like a more friendlier type.
Friendly,
type.
Yeah. So I just gave it a pass for that. But go ahead.
Yeah, that was my main gripe about it. You know, I was actually pretty hyped about the game. I'm like, I wouldn't mind playing it. Mm-hmm. I liked how they kind of showed like, oh, okay, this is what you're kind of battling for. They brought up the words and stuff, but
showed a lot of the story of yeah. what was going on and why you were fighting.
Yeah, exactly. So now you're not just like, oh man, pick up the game and what am I doing again?
And what was crazy about that is there was so much action in the Tatsunoko versus Capcom trailer that we went ahead and just picked the Fire Emblem Warriors gameplay trailer, and it still showed tons, you know, with the story. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I know it's kind of something else, but overall I liked it. I liked the characters.
Okay, so
unbiased Dan,
what'd you think? What'd you like about it?
I felt like the graphics were really cool. Mm-hmm. That was the one thing that stuck out, the color and the graphics seemed very detailed.
Right.
I didn't like the mouth. It was weird. It seemed weird the way when they would talk, it didn't seem very advanced with how I've seen other stuff done.
So that might be a knock on maybe the writers, because what it is usually the mouth is moving to the Japanese words.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah.
when they dub it, it's up to the translator and the writer to keep the same storyline, however, fit specific English words to fit with how the mouth is moving. So
that makes sense.
Strike on them. Bad writers.
Yeah, you know, yeah, bad writers indeed. But you know, that's always been like a big gripe of mine. I play a game and I'm like, I know they're speaking Japanese. I can see it right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh, come on, everybody, just speak a little Japanese for me, you know? Or let me, or I'll just switch it over.
And to just piggyback off those graphics. So this game has cell shaded graphics. So it looks like you're playing an anime.
Yeah, that that was definitely the first thing I thought of. I felt like I was like watching an anime for a minute.
Yeah.
So I gave it a 6.0. It wasn't terrible. It just didn't have any information. And that knocked down the score, you know, pretty low because it just got a zero. Because it didn't say anything. It just ended. But I thought the graphics were good. The music, sound was good. Story. I'm much more of, I get more pulled in when there's something, when there's, you know, people and feelings and, oh, we're going to, there's a mission and they're talking to each other. So I like the music. But anyway, that was the graphics. And, oh, I also noted that I don't think I saw any gameplay footage. So that makes me wonder, I don't know what it looks like.
Right.
It looked real pretty, but.
So what I will say is that normally with cel-shaded graphics, it's usually those same graphics.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's probably going to look like that when you're playing. I gave it a 7.4 overall. Graphics were solid. Sound was good. The story, so I can't necessarily say that I enjoyed what they presented to me as far as the story goes, but they presented it to me. So it was there and it was available. Hype, yeah, I'm super excited to play this game. It's been a while since I played a Dynasty Warriors game, so it's about that time. And what better, you know, than to play it on one of the newer systems, the Nintendo Switch. Info, yeah, it was low. I didn't give it a zero. I gave it a two because in the beginning it did show us at least that it was for the Switch and all of the producers and the companies that made it, as far as the Omega and the Woo Force and all that. So, you know, that I was hyped right then. Koei Tecmo.
Oh, you know, that's true. It did. Yeah, I forgot because I'm used to always seeing it at the end.
Yeah. So I'm, you know, I'm like, yeah.
Oh, you know it's going to be good.
Yeah, you know it's going to be at least decent.
Oh, yeah.
You know. So I gave it a 7.4, but doesn't really matter what I gave it.
Unbiased Dan.
What will we be reviewing on our next Nintendo podcast?
Fire Emblem Warriors.
Hey, I'm telling you, we need something because I deserve a prize. I deserve some winnings.
Mike B, I feel like you gave Fire Emblem Warriors a higher score.
But I wanted to play Tatsunoko as Capcom, though. You know, I call it as I see it, but you know.
So I'm going to call you out right now on the podcast.
Well, what?
You don't even own a Nintendo Wii.
No, yes, I do.
Where? I ain't never seen you
it's
with
at
a
the
Wii.
House.
Oh, come on. Everything's always at the house.
Yeah.
Hey, Tommy, man.
All right, let's pause it. You go get it.
Oh, I got a game. I got a game system.
Man, whatever. Look at your, I wish we can show the listeners your face.
Mike be tripping.
Nah. Yeah.
So when we were reviewing the trailer, I was like, ooh. So I definitely would not want to play that game with a Wii controller. But then I was thinking, oh, I can play it on the Wii U. And we got plenty of controllers there. So I think it would have been a good experience. But Unbiased Ian says Fire Emblem Warriors. So that'd be cool. Maybe we can check it out. Maybe there's some co-op or something on there. Go ahead and run through the story mode.
But you know, I do like Dynasty Warriors type
games.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. And it's like I said, it's been time. It's about time for me to go ahead and play a new one. So, yeah, we'll be doing that.
Yay.
Let's go ahead and jump into
round three.
Round three. Puyo Puyo Tetris review. Mike B, what'd you think overall?
Man, I actually enjoyed it. It was pretty cool. Right now, right off the bat, you know, gave it an 8.8.
Okay.
So it was pretty good to me. I thought it was great just because what I got out of it was what I wanted, the Puyo Puyo fast paced type playing. I'm trying to think of it all. Like, it's interesting how you can like switch it between like the Tetris and the Puyo Puyo, like play through between each other. And then you can actually like, it's crazy. Like with the special modes, you had like, the what was the one mode that we did where it kept switching it back and forth on me?
Was it Fusion?
Fusion. I think it was, yeah, Fusion, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Fusion was crazy.
Yeah, that was pretty fun. Even though it was really hard, but it was fun.
Yeah, because I'm sitting here thinking about it and I'm like, okay, all right, Puyo Puyo, because I'm better at Puyo Puyo than I am at Tetris.
Okay.
So while I'm doing that, I'm sitting here dropping the bricks down. Like, the premises is to just beat your opponent out and score, I believe, in that one. And every time it's like they switched it over to Tetris, I'll be like, oh, well, that's it for me. Game over. I gotta do another mode.
But then you started relying on those Tetris blocks at the end because they would smash.
Yeah.
The Puyo Puyo pieces.
Then I start realizing, I said, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I need those Tetris pieces because it kept me in the game.
Yeah, because Tetris is boss.
It is. That it is. It's what's up.
So overall, I gave it a 8.48.
Oh, really?
So we're right there. So really, real quick, Mike, what did you give the trailer, though? That's a new thing we're trying to implement into the podcast. You rated the trailer a
7.2.
And you gave the actual game
8.8.
Okay.
So overall, so
that means you're recommending all the listeners to go out and buy this.
Yeah. If they love puzzle games, they're most definitely they'll love this. You know, it has Tetris, which, you know, is a favorite that a lot of people like, and it has another game, Puyo, and it just mixes two good things together. So
I think, if I'm not mistaken, this game should definitely be cheap now if you can find it used. But I think this is also one of the games that came out that had a lower price tag anyway. And I think they came out with a deluxe version that was a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So this game should definitely be affordable. And according to Mike B, is a must own for the Switch. So I gave the Puyo Puyo Tetris trailer a 7.4 and gave the overall score 8.48. So I'm in the same boat here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm looking at my scores here. I just see 10s everywhere, especially for the graphics.
Mm-hmm.
That's a no-brainer there. The main thing I didn't like, and this sounds weird, but I gave it, my lowest score was in the gameplay section because of the story. Story mode, it was fun to play the stages, but it was a chore to get to the stages.
Oh, yeah.
In between each stage was like a 5-minute story based
on something that you don't even care about, or
it was so horrible. Only thing I did like about it is that you could skip it, but I'm not that type. The only time I'm going to skip story based elements is if I've already played the game. So
do you think if it would have been better if they used the characters? Because I think the characters in there look really cool.
Yeah,
you know, for what it was. But do you think it would have been a little bit better if they kind of did like a little animation to go with what's
going
on?
It was just too long. And I mean, there were specific times where they had two of the little animals talking to each other and they don't speak English.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just 5 minutes of pee, 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 pee.
Pika, pika?
Not pika. That would have been a little bit better.
Oh, okay.
But just pee, pee, pee. And that went on for 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
And that's supposedly part of the story.
If they said pika, I could have translated for you.
Right. Right. You
know, after years of Pokemon, I could tell you what he's saying.
Yeah. So, and my other biggest gripe. So, listeners, beware. If you play this game with the Nintendo Switch Pro controller, be careful, especially on the Tetris side.
Yes.
When you press that up button, it is super sensitive. You don't even have to fully press the button, and then your shapes are just deadlocked at the bottom of the screen, wherever it was. So be careful with that. I think I enjoyed my experience more playing with the actual Switch system with the joysticks attached to the side, or I enjoyed using the default controller that comes with the Switch. But that Pro controller, it feels good in my hand, but when it was time for that piece of the game, it messed me up and screwed me over every single time. Especially key times when I was playing the bosses, which the bosses are insanely difficult. So I think after maybe your fifth try, it gives you an option to skip it, because I think it's a star based system. So you have to get a certain amount of stars to unlock certain levels. So if you've done well on all the stages up into the boss stage, you can skip that one and your next level should still be unlocked.
You know what? That's one thing that I did kind of notice. Like when you're playing through the game, it will go from like, oh yeah, I'm whooping up on this character right here real easy. Like you get like across some dude and it's like, man, I'm beating everybody, man. I'm the greatest, man. I know I do all these puzzles. You get to that one boss character, like you said, or just a random character, mm-hmm. and you just cannot beat them.
Right.
Like I was looking at while you were playing, mm-hmm. I was watching your screen and I was watching the opponent's screen. That opponent was like moving that stuff at supersonic speeds.
So the one thing I've noticed about the adventure mode was I would be playing a boss and I would lose to the boss even though my score was higher than his. Mm-hmm. It's like the attacks that I threw over to his side of the screen did nothing mm-hmm. to him. But anything he did to me, like just messed me up completely. And it made no sense, again, losing to the computer when I had double his score. But outside of that, everything else was a lot of fun. Definitely worth the time and money. So, like normal, we let Unbiased Dan check out the game, handed her the controller. What did you think about it?
Well, I thought the graphics were really pretty. I loved the graphics. Mm-hmm. And I like stuff like that. I'm more drawn to kind of the bubbly stuff than like the anime. But the Tetris was fine. I mean, I didn't really think there was anything special about it, mm-hmm. but I did quickly find out what you were talking about. I pressed up and I was like, no, that's not what, I didn't want it to go down.
Yeah, we actually heard her screaming.
Yeah.
We were here in the studio and she was out there and we just heard somebody start screaming. And we're like, oh, okay. She's just playing Puyo Puyo Tetris. She's fine.
She hit that up button.
Yeah. Well,
and the B and the A are backwards from like the Xbox controller, which really was annoying to me.
Yeah.
That was, it's like switching from your right hand to your left hand.
It reminds me of Final Fantasy VII controls.
Oh, yeah.
So where O is that select button. Mm-hmm. Instead of X.
But you know, in Japanese games, that's actually how it is, though. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I guess because the circle is like okay and the X is like
no. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, like, and that's PlayStation wise. So,
yeah.
So, Tetris was fine. I didn't really think there was anything special about it, but it was pretty to look at. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really nice. I played Puyo Puyo and I was playing by myself, so I couldn't really figure out how to do it. I thought all you had to do was put like three together because I swear I saw three go and then it would clear.
I think it's four.
Oh, maybe. Okay.
Yeah.
I could not figure out how to do it. I kept losing and then I just kind of was like, forget it. But I walked in, I know when Mike, you were playing and there was like four screens up. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, it's kind of like when we did the review, that was the one thing I said. It's like, whoa, there's a lot going on the screen. I have no idea what you're doing or how you're doing it.
I didn't know what I was doing.
So,
okay.
So I played the 4-player mode also. It was basically me and I think it's every man for themselves, but it was me and three of the CPU opponents. When you're playing it, you don't even see those other screens.
Oh, because you're only looking at your stuff.
You're only focusing on yours. So I think maybe one time I asked Mike, hey, what are you doing over there? What's the update? Because I didn't have time to really look over, especially in that party mode, because they had actually blocks that would come down that would do major chaos to the other players. Mm-hmm. They had one where it like sped up the gameplay probably by 10 times. It was just going super fast. They have one where it's kind of like a strobe light where it blacks out your screen. And they move side to side where you can't really see what's going on, and then the default things of creating other blocks and stuff on your screen that causes you to lose. So
one thing I did notice is that I see you're really good at Tetris.
Yeah, man, I've been playing Tetris since the 80s, man. That Puyo Puyo, nah, I don't like it.
See, like I'm better at Puyo Puyo than I am with Tetris, but yet like when I was watching you play, it's like you were killing the computer. Like once you got to just use the Tetris itself,
yeah,
and not have to use the Puyo pieces, like you were just killing them. Like you had like the highest score, but then it was vice versa for me. When I had the Tetris pieces, I was doing bad, but with the Puyo stuff, I could do really good though.
Yeah, so I guess technically, I almost been playing Tetris for 30 years, so it's nothing for me to go in and whoop somebody in some Tetris.
Hey, Ann, quick question. So which one did you like? Did you like the Puyo Puyo part of it, or did you like the Tetris part of it better?
Well, I like the Tetris part better, but I think if... I think I could like the Puyo Puyo, but I'd have to try it again. Cause like I said, I couldn't figure out how to clear it and I kept losing. So I was just like, forget it.
So this is what I don't like about Puyo Puyo. Let me see if I can break it down real quick.
Mm-hmm.
It's harder to recover if you mess up.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
On Puyo Puyo. It's very difficult to recover. And then two, when it's time to start recovering, you slow down. I think I even noticed you doing that, Mike, too, when your Puyo Puyo screen was getting very high, really high. Like you started slowing down and you put it in the correct spot and you just let it drop by itself as opposed to forcing it down. But then at the same time, that gives the opponent the advantage because now they're putting two and three Puyo Puyo items down before you put your one. So now they're really piling on.
Because I know one thing, like with the Puyo Puyo stuff, you have to like really stack the colors on top of each other, like a high heel.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when you kind of, like when you drop the right color in the right area, it creates like a long chain.
Right.
And it goes all the way down. But see, like I've been playing Puyo Puyo, like those type games for so long where I'm used to it. But see, like with the Tetris part, like I can see where it can be, like you say, you can recover from it better.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, for me, it's like I'm not used to it as much. Because when I was watching you play, you were just used to like, okay, drop this piece right here, drop this piece right there. You can just create perfect lines constantly.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I think with the Puyo Puyo, it's harder to recover. And I think, but it's easier to mess up on Tetris.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what I'm trying to get to. You put one thing in the wrong place, that's just going to mess up your whole game.
Like, that's it?
That's it, usually. Yeah, for a lot of people, that's it. They just have big gaps, humongous gaps all in the screen. And as soon as they drop something on your side as far as an attack, that's it.
But you know what? One thing I do like is that this game has a lot of little modes in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks like definitely something you can play for a long period of time and something you can play quickly, which is perfect for a Nintendo Switch on the go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, perfect for playing something while you're waiting, something real quick at the doctor's office or wherever.
Yeah, it will keep you occupied.
Yeah. So it's like an advanced phone game.
Yeah, that's actually
so a lot of people,
thinking.
Yeah, that's what they do. They play little phone games when they're waiting somewhere, a puzzle game. So this is perfect for that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go ahead and move on.
Bonus round.
To a bonus round. So usually in this part of the show, we'll talk about trophies or achievements. Nintendo doesn't have that. I think I heard a rumor that they might be getting that. So instead of talking about that, we're going to talk about Pokemon Go.
Oh, Pokemon Go.
Pocket Monsters Go. So Mike, it's been a long time since we talked about Pokemon Go on the podcast. What were some of the last things you were doing?
Just in Pokemon Go itself, or what was I doing in life?
it's one and the same, man.
Oh,
and if it's not, you're not playing right.
Oh, shoot. Oh, my goodness, man. Nah, but what I've been doing, especially for this one Halloween event that was going on, you know I had to get my ghost Pokemon.
Yeah.
Because I'm a ghost Pokemon trainer. I already have a story. I came from Kanto. You know, my dead Raticate died, but then he turned to a Gengar. And I said, see, you're strong now. I believed in you always. So, you know. Anyway, that's mainly what
might be tipping.
That's what I've been doing most of the times. I've just been playing just to catch all the ghosts. Like, that's when I was most active.
Yeah.
Catching all of them. And I was able to get my a hunter. The Ghastly, the other ghost Pokemon too. They're from Gen 2, but I'm not too familiar with them. Mm-hmm. But my favorite ghost Pokemon is just the Gengar evolution.
Yeah. So Gen 2, or is it Gen 3?
It's only Gen 2 right now for
Well, I think the new ghost Pokemon that they put out wasn't the beginning of Gen 3.
Oh, you know what? What is the Dusclops? What is it like?
Dusclops.
Dusclops.
Okay, sounds good.
I know. Isn't he from Gen 3?
Yeah.
Okay, so they do. They have. You know, that was weird to me.
So I think that's what they did when they kicked off the Halloween event. They introduced a couple of the Gen 3 Pokemon. Mm-hmm. And the rumor is that come December, they'll release a few more.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So as far as what we've been doing, raids and leveling up and trying to catch perfect IV Pokemon. So current raid that's going on is Suicune. Got a lot of Suicunes. I don't think you have one yet. You got to get one.
I'm falling behind.
Especially with the rumors being the next legendary to be released, hopefully for Thanksgiving, is Ho-Oh.
Ho-Oh?
Yeah.
Oh,
so Suicune would be a perfect Pokemon to battle the Firebird.
Firebird. Oh, nice.
Unbiased Dan.
But what's been going on with you in Pokemon Go?
Same thing. I mean, lots of raids. Trying to get. I have a lot of Suicunes, but I don't have any good Suicunes. Mm. I mean, I have like a 90 IV or 91, but mm-hmm. I don't have like a really, really strong Suicune.
Right.
And I don't really have a super high CP Suicune. And they've been a little harder to get. So, and then just trying to level up. So mm-hmm. I'm level 36. I just got to 36, and you get so many points or what XP for the raids, especially with a lucky egg.
So that's what, yeah. So go get in a raid group and fight a couple of legendaries, put on a lucky egg. You'll get 20,000 per raid as far as the legendary goes.
So I was wondering, so what would you guys think would be like for Entei? How many people you think it would need for just an Entei?
Probably 8.
By 8.
I don't even remember. Eight, it's been 9. So long.
Yeah. So the Enteis are over, but I think maybe 8 or 9.
And how many would you say you would need for the Raikou?
Oh, I really don't remember that.
That was the first one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably the same.
Probably about the same. So yeah, you think all about the same?
Well, no, because the Suicune, we almost beat one yesterday with 4 people.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think 3 of us were level 36. One was level 31, and we almost beat it with 4 okay. people.
Mm-hmm.
So if that level 31 person... Shout out to Brent, was the same level as us, probably would have beat it. If we were a higher level, maybe if one of us was 40, mm-hmm. a level 40, we probably would have beat it with 4 people.
Okay, so generally you need about 8 people max
to do any raid.
Now, Brian, him and his friends beat that, well, that was an Entei, right? That was a Raikou that they beat with 3.
I don't remember. I didn't see the full video. I don't remember what it was.
It was the last one. So I think it was an Entei.
I think it was Entei. Yeah, they beat it with 3.
Yeah, so they are all, I think all 3 of them were 39. There might have been a 40 in there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they beat it with 3 people, which is insane.
Yeah, so my goal is to get us to level 40 so we can go solo and duo, whatever we want to. You know, we still might not be able to knock out a legendary, but everything else we should be able to handle.
You'll be contributing a lot to a group.
Right. So I think the biggest news for me was that I caught the last day of the Entei. I caught a 98 IV Entei and a 98 IV Suicune in the same day.
Oh, wow.
In the same day.
Yeah, that was a pretty good day.
That was a pretty good day. Like, I wanted to go out and raid more because I don't know the algorithm. I don't know how this works. So it's like, are you just going to keep throwing 98 IV Pokemon at me from raids? So let me go raid some more. But yeah, that was pretty good. That made it less stressful going forward because I didn't need to keep, you know, hoping and wishing that I get a high IV Suicune at every raid because I already got it. So when I would try to throw and catch, it didn't really matter because it's like I already have my near perfect one.
Yeah, you got that on the first day, right?
The very first day.
That was crazy.
The last day of the intake, which I didn't have a good intake until then. My best one was a 91. Yeah.
So, and then you were set.
I was set.
Yeah, he's like, I'm good.
Good to go.
That's all I need.
Whereas I have a perfect Ryko, right?
Right.
Yeah, I have a perfect Ryko.
A perfect. Yeah.
So, yeah, so we didn't know. I don't remember if we talked about this, the IV thing.
No.
Yeah, so when we were playing, we've been playing since it started.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got in this group, we kept hearing IV, IV, IV. We didn't know what IV was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it turns out that there's like a rating system. And we had transferred so many. We kept keeping just the high CP ones.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's a high IV one. Mm-hmm. It can be really high CP and be low, like rating, basically.
Low end in stats as far as HP, attack, and defense.
Right.
So yeah, I can't even imagine how many
we transferred
90s and up that we've transferred over the
right.
The now, year. I've known about the IV charts and stats
from
the game.
Yeah, I did know about that. I didn't know that it was a thing that it was prevalent in Pokemon Go.
Yeah, that blew my mind. I said, "What?" I said, "We got EV scaling in this game too."
Mm-hmm.
Like, wow.
Yeah. So that happened. 298s. So here's the other thing that happened. So I caught a perfect Chikorita the other day.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool, exciting, but that's not the big news. I caught a Chikorita today. 127 CP. So, you know, whatever. It's not like it was 12 or 10 or something,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't necessarily high. Guess what the IV was?
Was it perfect?
Total opposite. It was a zero.
Which you hardly ever see. So a lot of times it won't, if it's that low, it won't give you anything. It straight up said zero.
Zero. Zero attack, zero defense, zero. Now, it doesn't have zero HP, but its ranking as far as the HP was a zero.
Is that rare or is it like the...
I think that's probably more rare than the perfects.
Wow.
Yeah, because I've seen super low CP, mm-hmm. and it will just give you like a question mark. If it's like a 10,
mm-hmm.
it won't give you a ranking. So for it to say zero is really weird.
Yeah. So
you think they're going to be, whenever they let people trade, they're going to be like, hey, you want this weak Chikorita?
Probably not.
Say, man, it's sitting on all zeros, man. I'm just telling you.
So this is what we're going to do. This is the plan.
Mm-hmm.
So we're real close to launching the website. anxgamecenter.com, we're going to start posting some of these Pokemon Go pictures. So we're going to have a Pokemon Go section. So this perfect Chikorita I got, I'll show you that. This zero IV Chikorita I got, I'll show you that too.
What about that Mewtwo?
Oh, which one?
Oh, there's multiples?
Believe us on that. Remember, they were like, that's fake.
So when we originally posted on the gram, a couple of people came after me telling me it was fake or it was hacked or it was whatever. Nah, my Mewtwo's are real in the digital flesh.
I remember when you came up to me and showed me, I was like, oh, snaps, Mewtwo came out?
Mewtwo came out. So I think there's been two more.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Raids that we have not gotten an invite to, but the last one I caught was a 93 IV Mewtwo.
So 93 out of 100.
Yeah.
So that's pretty decent.
That's good.
Yeah. So I take that.
Yeah. Cause mine are all low. Mine are 70 something, all three of them.
Yeah. I think my first one was a 72 and the second one was a 70. And then I got the 93.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
Hopefully you get that perfect one.
That would be awesome. Perfect Mewtwo.
Perfect Mewtwo. Yeah. It'd be all game over.
So how many people did it take to beat Mewtwo?
It was weak, surprisingly.
Really?
Yeah, as far as his defense, I think it'll wipe out all your Pokemon with its attack, but I think 10.
Wow, so do you think that the actual, I know we were just talking about EV, the EV scaling and all that stuff, but do you think the actual stats from the game is also in this to where, because I know psychic Pokemon always had high attack.
Yeah, I think they tried their best to do it. Some of it might break the Pokemon game.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they make adjustments, but for the most part, I think they try to keep it as close as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So Mewtwo's and Legendary. So, Mike, you got to get back out there, man.
What's, I need that Mewtwo.
Instead, yeah, hey, you got to go do some raids, man. That's the only way you're going to get an invite.
Man, gosh, dog.
So, hey, if you can only do a couple of raids, make sure it's at one of the sponsored locations.
So tell me this right here. So if I do this raid, right, in order to activate the Mewtwo, if I do the raids, would I be able, like, once I give an invitation, would I be able to invite you all to help me?
Nope, it's just you.
So it's just me fighting them?
No, it's not just you fighting, but it's just you as far as the invite. Now, if we get an invite too, then we'll be there with you. But don't worry about getting up there and you being the only person there. It's going to be a ton of people there. Kind of felt bad. I don't know if we talked about that. I don't think we did. The second Mewtwo we did.
Yeah.
At the time, the raids were an hour. They're now 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. But the timers have 15 minutes left. Mm-hmm. Everybody's done. I think we went in with four different groups. Everyone was done fighting, done throwing, done catching. All of a sudden, here comes this guy.
This one guy
was like, oh, so I'm guessing y'all already did the Mewtwo.
Wow.
It was so sad. Yeah. We were like, oh my God, we just finished.
Yeah.
Man, I would have said, say, man, here you go. I know, I'll hook you up. Here you go, Pokemon Red. Just go ahead and beat that. Go right into the cave. That's where Mewtwo at. Just, there you go, man.
Yeah.
But he showed up kind of late. I mean,
he showed up pretty late. But, I mean, he was in good spirits. You could tell he was down, but he wasn't beating himself up, you know, too bad about it. But, yeah, it looks like he just missed out. He was coming from maybe the next town over. So I'm not even sure. He must have just been visiting our mall. And I think that's how he got one of his random invites. Because he didn't live in the city.
So quick, how far away are some of these raids, though?
They're all over everywhere. The place.
So if I get a random invite.
So for example, Mike B, outside of this podcast, he drives trucks. Mm-hmm. So let's just say you're in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And you decide, oh, look, these people over here raiding. Mm-hmm. I'm going to join them. Mm-hmm. You do that raid. Mm-hmm. Let's just say you happen to get that random EX raid pass. Then you got to go back to Arkansas to fight Mewtwo.
You're kidding me.
No.
It'll only give you a raid pass for where you've raided.
Right.
Which is everywhere.
Oh, guys. Dog, man, I've been Pokemon going around the country.
Well, you might be out of luck. Because you might not be able to attend the event. I think so far what we've noticed is they'll do one at a sponsored location, which is Sprint and Starbucks. So that helps limit, you know, where you need to go. And then the next ones are random. Oh, just gosh. Random gyms that you've raided at. And I think it's not just raids. I think you have to have done a legendary raid. Mm-hmm. So if you went to Arkansas and fought a Magikarp at a raid at a gym, then you don't have to worry about getting your EX Mewtwo raid pass. They're not going to send one for that.
Okay, cool. That's what's up. Because I don't think I did any legendaries there, but yeah, that would suck.
Yes. Yes. So that's how it works. I think we went up to Oklahoma recently and we were kind of playing along the way. And that thought crossed my mind, like, what if we fought a gym out here and got a EX raid pass? Like, are we coming back out to wherever?
Road trip.
That'd be quite a drive for a maybe
situation. I'll drive for you. Road trip.
Okay.
Man,
I'll ride. I don't want to drive.
We can't fit in his car.
You don't have a back seat?
It's a two-door car.
I know it's a two-door, but there's not a back seat.
Uh-uh.
Oh.
Not at all.
We'll have to take the truck.
So anyway, that's a lot of Nintendo news. So again, coming soon, Pokemon Go section of our website, visit anxgamecenter.com. So let's get back into some other games played. Mike, you played anything else for the Nintendo?
For Nintendo, huh? Let's see. Not necessarily.
Okay, because my notes right here says Mike wants to talk about Mario Odyssey.
Mario, what? When did it say that?
What?
What?
You know what? That's one thing I do want to talk about. So,
Might be tripping.
Hey, man. Hey, I know I be tripping, man, but I still be looking fine. But anyway, I've been seeing a ton of people playing Mario Odyssey. Like at the malls, they have like these little kiosks to where it's just Nintendo Switches and all they have is just Mario Odyssey on them.
Okay.
Plus also, just in the neighborhood, just right up the street.
In the hood, okay.
There's actually a game truck over there.
I saw that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we saw that.
Yeah, and they actually have the ARMS and Mario Odyssey there.
Did you stop at the truck?
No, I didn't. You know, I was going to stop, and I was going to say, hey, you know, let me just get like 30 minutes of some Mario Odyssey in. But I said, no.
So we did. We were on a game truck one time recently. I really wasn't impressed with that game truck because it was all like PS3, Wii, and Xbox 360. Mm-hmm. So it was like, you need to update, bruh.
Bruh.
You know. But yeah, generally speaking, they look cool.
Yeah.
And got super, super cool sound on the inside. So Mario Odyssey, a lot of people keep asking me, hey, did you get it? You're here to get that? Did you pick it up? Nah. Man, like for real. Mario is, I can't even say he's cool because he's not cool. Uh-oh. Time for a Genesis hot take.
Oh, get him.
The Super Mario games are good games, fun games, but Mario himself is not cool at all, and I really have not been a fan of his or the series since the 90s.
Nah, I don't blame you.
And it's 2017.
Yeah,
so it's probably been a good 20 years since I've made a conscious effort to go play a Mario game. As far as the adventure game, Mario Kart is still legit, but as far as the story, Mario adventure game, no. And then I don't know what's up with this one. I keep seeing him dressed up in wedding dresses, which, not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just like, I don't know what in the world is going on here. And then he's running around in a real city.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
New Donk City, I believe that's what it's called.
Who?
Like New Donk? Like Donkey Kong City?
New what?
Like New Donk? I think that's what it's
new
called.
New Donk?
Oh.
I think that's what it's called. I don't know. Don't quote me, you know.
New Donk. Okay.
Donkey Kong.
Donkey Kong. Okay. New Donk City. That sounds like some sort of gentleman's club. I'm just saying.
You know what, dude? I wouldn't mind going. But I've been watching all these videos with Mario singing with Pauline. You remember her? Paulina?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember her.
Yeah. See, I've been saying, hey, man, you need to drop Peach. You ain't getting nowhere with Peach. Go back to Paulina. That's where the party at
you
right there.
You need to drop Peach.
That girl has some vocals on her. I was just in my, I was traveling, right? And I was just listening to that song. I said, oh, yeah. Uh-huh. My one-up girl. That's what's up. Yeah, I like that, you know?
So I might be totally wrong on this, but if I'm not mistaken, I believe she made a song with my favorite rapper, Royce da 5'9".
He's your favorite?
What?
Like all-time favorite?
You mean
I think so. I think as far as me saying who is the best, got to go with Eminem. But I think my favorite rapper is probably Royce da 5'9".
That's what's up. That's cool. That's
so I think she made a song with him.
I feel like Eminem is the greatest rapper of them all. But you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Mike, I agree. I'm just like, I never heard Mike say that before.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, hands down, I believe he's the greatest rapper of them all.
So just real quick, as soon as we're done with this podcast today, I'm Googling Revival because it was supposed to be out yesterday and I don't know what happened. So he's supposed to come out with a new CD. Anyway.
What's up?
Anyway.
No. Can we go back to, wait. So Paulina.
Mm-hmm.
Like for Mario.
Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about Paulina from Mario.
Mario. I'm talking about a real singer.
Oh, so, man.
Oh, yeah. I was wondering what y'all were talking about. I was like, what?
Well, see, I was kind of confused.
See, I'm talking about, and then when you started doing your dance, it looked like you were doing some kind of salsa dancing.
Oh, is that what she do too?
Yeah.
She be doing that?
Yes.
But don't we have an amiibo, a Paulina amiibo?
Now that you say it, yeah.
Okay.
But we have all the amiibos, so I get lost.
I mean, you had me going because I'm sitting here like, wait a minute, if I go back I look on YouTube.
So you're thinking Royce did a song with a Nintendo character?
Yes.
Man, I wish he'll blow up real quick.
I'm thinking like maybe he could have came in at the end and it's like start spitting some bars or something, and I could have been like, okay, that's what's up. I can see that. I mean, anything can happen.
I guess so.
In New Donk City.
So anyway, I guess the only thing that I played as far as Nintendo related content is the Pokken tournament.
Oh, how was that?
Pokken Tournament DX. So I own it for the Wii U. Never played it. Still sealed. I got my Shadow Mewtwo card. Cool. Said, oh, it's out for the Switch. It was a little bit cheaper. I found it used too. I was like, okay, let's get it. Graphics were amazing, but the gameplay itself is kind of real basic. And I didn't really enjoy it overall. The character selection is limited. So I was like, yeah.
How many Pokemon can you pick from?
Oh, maybe 10.
10?
Maybe.
So Pokken Tournament, that's kind of like a play on Tekken, right?
Yeah, and it's made by Namco, if I'm not mistaken.
So which character would you say is Kazuya?
I don't know, because you don't fight like you would on Tekken.
Oh.
It's more couple of buttons here and there and then begin an animation that finishes.
I think I seen a Gengar on there too at one point.
Sounds familiar.
I think I seen a Gengar on there.
Definitely. No, Lucario was one of the main characters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think Charizard's on there. The Shadow Mewtwo is pretty dope.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Got to check that out.
All right. So,
Unbiased Dan,
you have any Nintendo news for us today?
Yes, I actually did see something. This just caught my eye. Mm-hmm. It's nothing that crazy of information, but I thought it was pretty interesting. It says Nintendo accounted for 2/3 of all consoles sold in October in the United States. So I kind of just scanned through it to see which ones or what they're talking about specifically. And it said that the Nintendo Switch was the top console in October in the United States. The number two was the retro all-in-one system, the Super NES Classic Edition. Mm-hmm. And then Nintendo 3DS portable consoles. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
So that's pretty shocking to me as far as the 3DS. I would think that the 2DS would be a bigger seller because it's new, but they've come out with some special edition handhelds. I don't know if it's 2DS or 3DS, so that might have made the difference. I know they came out with one that looks like a Pokeball. I know they came out with a limited Pikachu edition. So if those are the 3DS, then it makes sense why those would have sold more. The Switch, big restock happened.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the mini SNES. So those two don't shock me. And it's getting closer to Christmas time. And for all intents and purposes, the Xbox One is old news and the PlayStation is old news. So, for example, we picked up the Xbox One X Scorpio Edition. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, it's the same. We can tell the big difference because we have all the 4K capabilities. However, to an average gamer, specifically more kids, they won't know the difference. So the thing that's new, fun, and exciting is the Switch. And it's more affordable. So that's been Nintendo's biggest thing for the longest. They don't always have the best graphics, but the systems are a lot more affordable. The Wii, generally speaking, was trash. The whole system, terrible. But I still had one. I still bought it. It was cheap.
Affordable. Huh?
Yeah, and I didn't know it was trash at the time. But it was super cheap and affordable, and so I just picked it up, sold it, had to buy another one, sold it, ended up getting one for free. Shout out to George. So
you think George can hook me up with some free stuff?
You just said you had a Wii. So,
I just like to get free.
He just heard free.
Mike be tripping.
So, did something big come out in 2011? I know this is kind of a random question. I mean, you know, to think back, but that was 6 years ago. But it says in this article that Nintendo said that the U.S. video game industry hit a high of more than 1 million units sold in October, a number that hasn't been hit since 2011. I'm trying to think. Did something big come out in 2011?
Did the Wii come out then?
The Wii U?
Nah, you know, Wii U didn't sell that good.
Are you sure?
I don't think so. I don't think the Wii U did that great.
But no, they're not saying Nintendo units. They're saying,
oh, just games.
Game units overall.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I would think that. So what game systems came out that time?
So 2011. I think the Vita was already out. It could have just been a perfect storm of when. Oh, you know what it could have been?
What? What do you think?
No, it could have been. It could not have been that. It just depends, because I do remember specifically. No, that was beforehand. So there was one time where like Halo came out. I don't remember which one. Mm-hmm. And right after it came out, then Microsoft decided to ban all of the systems that they've known to have been using burn games.
Oh.
So what did all those people do? They ran right out and bought a new system.
Oh, I see.
So 2011, I think that gen of systems, it took them a while to get going. Mm-hmm. PS3, Xbox 360. So I think it could have just been the perfect storm. Mm-hmm. I don't remember when the Wii U was released. I think it was 2011. Mm-hmm. So if you got a brand new system, plus you got two other systems hitting its stride, plus you still have the 3DS and the Vita, you know, on the rise at the time, probably makes a little sense.
Yeah, probably so. Because I'm like I said, it's just kind of weird to me when it came out. So right here, the Wii came out at 2006.
Yeah, it came out 2006.
Okay.
But the Wii U might have came out around that time. And the Kinect for the Xbox 360.
I was just looking at something and this caught my eye. I don't know if this may be completely, I don't know what year these came out, but just a fact. Only the PlayStation and Wii joined the PlayStation 2 in home consoles, surpassing 100 million units sold.
Oh.
Interesting.
Because the Wii was so cheap.
Yeah.
And even, and everyone was buying them.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be gamers, non-gamers, people who just wanted to play the old Mario, which you could download, adults, old people wanting to do the Wii Fit.
Yeah.
And it was so cheap.
And then, you know, that's another thing too. Like the games, they have games for everybody. There's like almost nobody who's left out. Cause you know, most of the times, like if you know, all games have like a good variety of what you want, but it's like Nintendo just kind of caters more to everybody rather than just a selected group.
Yeah, they didn't make any games for me, man, because it was trash.
Oh, shoot, damn.
I don't know what happened in 11, because this article says the Wii U was released during the holiday season of 2012.
Mm.
And yeah. I'm reading this in order because I'm just really curious what it was, but I'm not seeing it. Anyway, I did have one other question on this article. Oh, no. Oh, one other fact. It says that as far as the Nintendo Switch, Nintendo has sold more than 7.63 million consoles, and it now expects to sell more than 14 million by March 2018. But it calls it a hybrid console. Why is that?
Because it's like, you can take it on the go as a handheld.
Yeah.
Or you hook it up to the TV.
That's right. And Mike B, you'll appreciate this. Nintendo also noted in today's press release that Super Mario Odyssey was the top selling game of the month in the United States in October.
That's what's up. As long as I can give me some more Paulina, I'm good.
And guess who does not own it? We don't.
And it didn't even launch until October 27th. And it was still the highest selling.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It like went really fast.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So it's time to wrap up the podcast. No more Paulina. No more Mario Odyssey.
Paulina.
So make sure to follow us on social media at ANX Gamecast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Email us, anxgamecenter@gmail.com. And coming real soon. And by the time this is released, it'll probably be already published. But visit us at anxgamecenter.com.
That's it for today, guys. Thanks for listening to ANX Gamecast. Join us next week where we'll have our full lane review and we'll take a look at Berserk, The Egg of the King, and Lupin the Third, Dice K. Jigen's Gravestone. See you next time.